Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
We've reached the ends of the Borgo Pass, General Van Groen. We should be able to see the destination in just a few moments.
Keep your eyes open and your lips shut, Kranz.
Jawohl, Herr General.
When I demanded that the mayor of Bistritz provide us with a semi-remote headquarters, I did not have something quite this remote in mind.
Perhaps he wanted to impress you with a location most extraordinary. He was certainly eager to please.
Yeah. Altogether too eager. What's the name of this castle again, Captain Plesser?
I'm not certain I can get the native pronunciation correct.
In a civilized tongue, Plesser. Not the barbaric babbling of the Slavs.
Yeah. I believe it translates as Devil's Castle.
Ugh. So, the Carpathian Mountains are supposed to be overrun with devils. Well, they shall defer to us, or we will devil them. Meanwhile, let the castle be called by a proper German name, Teufelsstoss. We may not know what this command post of ours is to be used for. A move against Russia, perhaps. But at least it has a name.
Yes, sir. General von Grun, doesn't it seem strange that the mayor of Bistritz was so anxious for you to come to the castle tonight?
You smell a trap, do you?
It seems a possibility, yes.
How fortunate that I brought two platoons of my personal guard, then. Though I doubt if anyone in this forsaken land would dare set a trap for me. Or any other German, for that matter.
Yes, sir. They seem to have arrived.
It appears to be adequate for our needs. A natural fort, withdrawn and good for any defense except against aircraft. We will make a thorough examination. Unteroffizier!
Jawohl, Herr General.
Six of the men will accompany me inside. You will bivouac the others in this courtyard, maintaining a perimeter guard all night. Heil Hitler.
Heil Hitler!
Mein guards have been living altogether too softly since the fall of France. It doesn't hurt to have them spend a night in the rain, to remind them what it is like to truly be soldiers.
Yes, sir. The door's locked, Herr General. No knob or latch, bell or knocker.
Welcome, General Van Groen. You are expected.
Who told you who I am?
Why? Who could mistake you for anyone else but General Van Groen?
You did not answer my question. Who told you who I am? Did the mayor of Bistritz send someone ahead of us?
Yes, of course.
You vicious ass. And who are you?
I am in charge here. Have been in charge for many years.
Until now. Now I am in charge.
Of course, Herr General. I am so honored to have you. Please, come in.
Plesser, take these six men with you. Tour the castle. Make a plan of each floor, then come back and report. Heil Hitler.
Heil Hitler.
While they are inspecting your new home, may I offer you supper, Herr General? I have it already laid out over here in the dining hall.
Specially prepared for me, no doubt.
But of course.
Remove these things. I have brought my own provisions. You may eat that supper yourself.
Oh, the General is too kind.
The General is too kind. Those are words never spoken in reference to me before. Now, eat that supper yourself, as I ordered you to do.
Oh, I will sup very soon. But first, I will have your man bring you a meal of your own provisions. Please, excuse me.
These ingratiating swine, they seek favor in mine eyes. We'll see what good it does them. Just because they are fools, they assume that I am as well. But they will soon learn their place, serving the master race. What was that? Off in the distance. You have wolves here?
Yes, Herr General. They speak to the full moon.
Are there many?
They are quite numerous, Herr General.
Good. I may enjoy shooting a few of them. In fact, I would do so now if they were not so far away.
They come closer. Pardon, Herr General. Your orderly was unavailable, so I took the liberty of making you a tray.
These are my provisions. Smoked turkey, buttered bread, preserved fruits, beer.
You seem hesitant to eat, Herr General. Are you not hungry? Or are you suspicious that there is something wrong with it?
Do I have reason to be suspicious?
Not at all. I give you my word of honor that your food has not been tampered with in any way.
I will eat it, but not because of your word of honor. I will eat it because this will be an object lesson for you. We of the Third Reich are not sniveling Slav cowards who tremble at the baying of wolves.
I understand, Herr General.
Are you an experienced servant?
I have served very few guests. The last was many years ago. An Englishman named Harker.
Englishman. The decadent English will be dealt with in due time. Those wolves sound as if they are right outside the walls.
I thought that you of the Third Reich did not tremble at the baying of wolves.
They're a nuisance, and they will be eliminated as are all nuisances to the greater German Reich.
Another object lesson for me, Herr General?
Precisely. You will see how I deal with anything in my path. Captain Plesser! Captain Plesser!
I believe he may be otherwise occupied, Herr General.
The damn things are in the courtyard!
The damn things are indeed.
What sort of madness is this? Plesser!
Devils! Hungry. Got the others. Got me.
His throat torn open. And yet, there's no blood.
No. I would not expect that there would be.
What do you mean by that?
Do forgive me, Herr General. My servants were all too eager, both within and without. Wolves and vampires are hard to restrain at even the calmest of moments. And it is midnight, our moment of all moments.
What are you raving about?
I do not rave. I tell simple truth. My castle has vampires within, wolves without. My dearest ones, my children.
So the wolves are your children, are they? Then you will leave them orphans!
fool!
I just emptied an entire magazine into you.
You would come to my ancestral lands, threaten me, who has ruled here since your forefathers shivered in stone huts?
This isn't possible.
Oh, it is possible, Herr General. And now, you will truly see who is master.
Who are you?
I am Count Dracula of Transylvania. So ends The Devil Is Not Mocked by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was adapted for radio by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes from the short story by Wade Manley Wellman. Joe Ockman was General Von Grun. Damon Krall was Count Dracula. Richard Tatum was Captain Plesser. Nathan Turner was Kranz. And Mike Gaglio was Schmidt. I'm your host, Damon Krall. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
Another night's work well done. And so easy without that nuisance Spider-Man.
I didn't know you cared.
You!
Yes, Electro, and I'm going to short-circuit you once and for all.
You would have been better off in the hands of the police. You are no match for my power.
It takes more than power to win. It takes brains and knowing your enemy.
I'll pit my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Thanks to Sky High Gas Prices, we can convince America that more drilling is the answer. High gas prices? Drill more. Prices still high? Try drilling in a wildlife refuge or off a nice beach.
Our traditional energy resources are limited. Luckily, it's easy for students like you to conserve energy.
Woke up late for class? Buy some time in the morning by taking a shorter shower. Cut down by 1 minute every day and save enough to fund your daily caffeine fix for over a week. Plus, you save on electricity and water. Install a water-saving showerhead to save even more.
For more energy-saving tips, go to www.bchydro.com. This message brought to you by BC Hydro and CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Ocean, border, sub, urban, dispersal, determinacy, mulatto, mestizo, Métis, Cabra, Eurasian, Creole, colored, colored, split. Those who have no history are doomed.
An excerpt from The Reinventing Wheel, spoken by author, Vancouver poet, Wade Compton. Celebrate Black History Month with CITR 101.9 FM as we host content exploring Black history in Vancouver and beyond. Tune in this February and check out CITR.ca for regular updates on the scheduling of our Black History Month programming.
Suspense. And the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, a master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
The effect of the tropics upon the female of the species has held an especial fascination for writers ever since the Pax Britannica assured an empire upon which, until recently, the sun never set. Richard Weil is no exception to this predilection of authors. He has written for us a tale of the South Seas under the Pax Americana, a triangular tale of a woman's boredom, a man's devotion, and another man's love. Listen then to Thou Shalt Not Commit, starring Mr. Victor Joy. Now.
Mr. Victor Joy in Thou Shalt Not Commit, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
My name, Luelli. Me houseboy for Dr. Blair. Me work for him and Missy Blair ever since they come to Mauia. Maybe, 7-8 months ago. When they first come, while we building house for them and another place Dr. Blair called laboratory, they all the time happy, all the time laugh a lot. But now it's different. Now, no more laugh. Fight.
I'm fed up, Carl. Fed up to hear. I've had it.
Sounds as though you got up on the wrong side of your disposition this morning.
Very funny.
I'm sorry, darling.
Sorry isn't enough.
That's a pretty cruel thing to say.
You're a pretty cruel man, Carl.
Cruel?
And selfish. Dragging me down here to keep you company, you said. Well, who's going to keep me company?
Lisa.
Oh, what I would give for just one leisurely luncheon at the Colony and the opening night of a Broadway musical and a few laughs afterward in the cub room.
You weren't exactly dragged here, Lisa. We discussed this move at great length before we made
it. The only two white people on a dirty little South Pacific island 1,000 miles from nowhere.
I wouldn't say that dirty was precisely the word to describe Mauia. It seems.
And you out here in your precious laboratory 10, 12, 14 hours a day. What am I supposed to be doing while you're saving the world from tropical disease? Take me back to New York, Carl. Back where I belong.
We can't go back to New York, Lisa. At least not for a while. I can't leave my research now. Not yet.
So a bunch of filthy natives are more important to you than your own wife.
No, but I know this sounds stuffy, but nothing is more important to me than my obligation to humanity.
Great. So you stay here and fulfill your obligation to humanity. Me? I'm going home.
If you insist on leaving, I can't stop you. Or rather, I won't. But I can try to keep you here with me, can't I?
How?
By trying to make you know how much I love you. Give me 3 weeks. It'll be 3 weeks before the Samoa Belle puts in here again. And, my darling, a great many things can happen in 3 weeks.
Now, Master and Missy seem happy, almost like before. Master, don't spend so much time along laboratory, no. He and Missy swim together and spearfish, and Missy start to feed again. Master sit on the palm tree dressed in lava lava with a wreath of hibiscus round his neck. He so brown from sun and wind, he look like one of my people. I think Missy like the way he look because by and by, she put down brush and go over and sit beside him.
Tired, dear?
No. Just wanted to sit beside you.
That all?
No. I also wanted to kiss you.
I think that might be arranged.
That was eminently satisfactory, darling. Almost as pagan as your costume.
I'm not really pagan at all, Lisa.
Don't you think perhaps with a little encouragement
well, perhaps.
You could...
But when the chips... Hey, what's that?
What's what?
Well, I think the proper technical expression is sail ho.
Where?
See ya? Way out there. Hull down on the horizon.
Oh, do you suppose it's the Samoa Belle?
No. Belle is a three-master. That boat has only two.
She heading this way?
Probably not. Well, all play and no work, you know. I must get back to the lab.
Yeah, I know, dear.
Do we paint tomorrow?
Probably. but Ali Mato Ueli Tarek.
And just what, my little linguist, does that mean?
Lueli taught it to me. It means, here on Maui, we live but one day at a time.
Oh, we find out pretty soon that boat Master Thief belong along one fella, Captain Burke. Captain Burke, he anchor in lagoon and come ashore just about sundown. I helping Master in laboratory when he talk along my uncle, Taieri.
Now, these skin eruptions tell the whole story, Taieri. You're suffering from yours. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? That's what I thought. Tell him I'm going to take a specimen of his blood, Lueli. It won't hurt him. There. He can go now. But I want him back here by 9 o'clock tonight. It's important that he be on time. Tell him that. You better run up to the house now, Lueli, and tell Missy Blair that I'll be there in a few minutes.
Dr. Livingston, I presume?
Huh? Unfortunately, the records don't reveal what Livingston replied to Stanley.
I'm Terry Burke, Doctor. That's my schooner, the Wanderer, anchored out there in the lagoon.
Oh, I've heard a great deal about you, Captain Burke. Welcome to Maui Ia.
Thanks. You see, I've heard a lot about you, too.
Really? Why, I've no idea.
Come on now, Doctor, no false modesty. You're quite well known, considering the short time you've been on the islands.
Well, now it's my turn to thank you. Lueli.
Yes, Martha.
Go up to the house and set out some drinks. And tell Missy that we have a dinner guest. Oh, forgive me, Captain. You will dine with us, won't you? I want you to meet my wife.
I'd be delighted, Doctor. I've heard a lot about her, too. Yes, Mrs. Blair, he was quite a guy. They called him Bully Hayes. He sailed the islands from the Philippines to the Marquesas, doing as he pleased, making his own laws, and taking what he wanted.
He sounds utterly fascinating.
If you like pirates, that is. I heard Lueli refer to you as Bully Burke, Captain. Did you earn your nickname that way?
Not exactly.
How did you get it then?
Oh, I skippered a PT boat in the last war. Well, I guess you might say I ran a taut ship. Not happy, maybe, but taut. So my crew called me Bully Burke. Behind my back, of course.
Where was this, Captain?
Oh, we played tag with Tojo all over the South Pacific. I had it right up to here.
Were you at it long?
Started in as an enlisted man, ended up with two stripes on my sleeve. You don't do that in 20 minutes.
Why didn't you stay with it, Captain? I should imagine that for a man like you...
They tell you what to do in the Navy, Mrs. Blair. And I was never much good at taking orders.
Like Bully Hayes, Captain? Doing as he pleased, making his own laws, and taking what he wanted?
That's about it.
Do you take what you want, Captain Burke?
I'm strong enough to get away with it. Yes.
Captain, you've just set civilization back 5,000 years. Now, I must ask you to excuse me for a little while.
But, Carl...
I told Taieri to be at the lab at 9. It's a question of timing his treatments. Lueli, I'll need you with me.
Yes, my sir.
I'll be back shortly. Excuse me, please.
You know, Mrs. Blair, I knew a fellow once over in Omea who owned the most beautiful pearl I've ever seen. Was flawless, perfectly formed, and it glowed as though it were lighted from inside. The minute I saw it, I knew I had to have it. I told him the name was Price, but he said he wasn't selling.
It must have been pretty frustrating for you.
Well, it was pretty stupid of him. You see, he didn't guard it as carefully as he should have.
Captain Burke, you didn't.
I'll show it to you sometime. As a matter of fact, I'd like to see it against your skin.
I wonder why I'm not as shocked as I should be.
You're not shocked at all. You love it.
Am I as obvious as all that?
Maybe not to some men. Certainly not to your husband. But to me.
Each of us knows what the other is thinking.
That's right.
If, for example, I said that I wanted to take you out on the lanai and show you my orchid.
That's easy. You want to be kissed. But if it happened in here,
We'd be in plain sight of the laboratory. Correct?
I'm afraid so. Well?
Why not?
No more, Jerry. Not now. Take me back inside and give me a chance to pull myself together before Carl... Your arms around. Kiss me once more. Oh, Jerry, Jerry, what are you doing to me?
Well, that winds up another day's work.
Carl, I've been trying to persuade Captain Burke to spend a little more time with us.
And I was telling Mrs. Blair that I can't possibly do it, at least not this time. I have a hole full of copra that's due in Papietti right now.
But you will come back, won't you?
Oh, please say yes. We'd love to have you.
Well, I'll tell you, Mrs. Blair. I figured on having my boat hauled out while I was in Papietti, but if it's all right with you and the doctor, I'll come on back here and my crew can careen right down on the beach.
We'd be delighted to have you, wouldn't we, Carl?
We would indeed.
Of course. There's a condition attached to it.
What's that?
You're going to have to tell me some more of your fascinating stories.
You mean about, Pearling?
Particularly about Pearling. I like those best of all.
All right. I'll be back in 2 weeks. 3 at the outside.
That gives us something to look forward to.
Same here. Well, I gotta get aboard. We're sailing at dawn. I'll be back.
You can count on that?
You can count on it, Doctor. I'll be back.
In a moment, we continue with... Victor Jory, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Captain Buck, he come back just like he say. When he anchor in lagoon and row ashore, Missy, she stand waiting. He get out of boat and say, you are Rana, and she put wreath she make from ginger blossoms round his neck. Then they walk up to house together, just the two. Master not there. He busy in laboratory.
Carl asked me to make his apologies, Terry. He seems to be on the verge of discovering whatever he's trying to discover. He's been out there in the laboratory now for at least 20 straight hours.
And what have you been doing for those 20 straight hours?
Trying to sleep, at least part of the time. And if you must know, not doing too good a job of it.
Why not?
Because I was waiting for you. I haven't had a good night's sleep since you left.
Any new orchids since I was here last?
Suppose we look after dinner.
We may not get a chance. The barometer's been falling for the past 24 hours.
What does that mean?
At this time of the year and in this neck of the woods, just one thing. Typhoon.
Then we can't get away tonight.
We?
Yes. I've made up my mind, Terry.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Then we'll get away. If not tonight, then tomorrow or the day after. But we'll get away.
More coffee, Captain?
No, thanks, Mrs. Blair.
Oh, that wind, it makes me so nervous.
It's only blowing about 30 miles an hour now. We're in for it. By midnight, it'll be doing better than 100.
I don't like it.
Not the wind, Mrs. Blair. It's the atmospheric conditions that go with it. You notice anything unusual, Doctor?
Since you mention it, I do. A feeling of apprehension as though something indescribably dreadful were about to happen.
That's right. That's what a typhoon does to you.
By the way, do you have storm shutters?
Indeed we do.
Better get them up.
It's a good idea. Luelli?
Yes, my father.
Captain Burke says we'll be needing the shutters. Get a couple of the boys to help you put them up.
Yes, my father.
And I better go and see if things are secure in the laboratory. If you'll excuse me, please, I'll be back shortly.
Are you sure you want me, Terry?
I think you know the answer. But I better tell you right now that there aren't any guarantees. We may be together 20 years from now, or I may leave you on the beach the first port we come to.
You won't.
Maybe not. Maybe someday you'll walk out on me just like you're walking out on him.
No, of that I'm sure. Carl is sweet, he's good. That means he's tame and drab and commonplace. But you're a man. That's what I need, Terry, a man. That's what I've searched for all my life. That's what I've got to have.
Well, I'll tell you this much, you won't be...
What is it, Carl? What's the matter, Duane?
Oh, we fixing shutters in laboratory. All of a sudden, a master make funny noise.
It's my side, Lisa. A pain here.
Sit down, Carl.
I'll get you some water.
No, thanks. All I need is a little rest. It's subsiding already.
Just the same, I'm going to put you to bed. Help me, Luelli.
Yes, Missy.
Want me to give you a hand?
No, thanks. We'll manage. Come, Carl.
Yes, dear.
Take it easy.
I will, Captain. You'll take care of Lisa, won't you? She's never been through a typhoon before.
I thought he'd never go to sleep.
How's the pain?
I said it was better. I gave him some phenobarb and it seemed to help.
It isn't anything serious, is it?
No, I hardly think so. He's just been working too hard.
Well, what do we do now?
You had your instructions, didn't you? By the way, just how do you take care of a lady during a typhoon?
Like this.
Oh, yes. Like this. All I want in the world is to be near you, be in your arms like this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Carl.
Well, look, Doc, I can...
I'm sure you can, Captain.
Well, I can't say you didn't warn me, can I? You told me very emphatically that you took what you wanted.
What are you going to do about it, Claire?
There isn't very much I can do. You see, within 36 hours, I'll be dead.
Carl!
Yes, Lisa. I have acute appendicitis.
Oh, no.
Look, just as soon as this blow is over, I'll put you aboard my boat and we'll...
The nearest doctor is 7 days' sail from here. I have it the outside a day and a half.
There must be something we can do.
Well... Captain Burke, under my direction, might be able to perform an emergency appendectomy.
Carl, that's impossible.
No, it isn't. It's been done before. I've read about it.
But not under these circumstances. Hey, Captain?
You think I can do it?
Undoubtedly. All you have to do is follow instructions. But the question in my mind...
I know. I'm asking myself the same question. When do we start?
Sooner the better.
You'll want Luelli to help you.
No, Lisa. I want you to help.
Me?
Precisely. I thought we'd keep this a sort of a family affair.
Let's get on with it.
I like your attitude, Captain. You seem to be every bit as eager to know how this little experiment is going to work as I am. Average layman is familiar with most of these things, Captain. Scalpels, scissors, forceps.
I know what they are.
Good. Now, the first incision is made right here. That's what we call McBurney's Point. And you do it with this scalpel. A cut of approximately an inch and a half. Then you go deeper with this one.
Tell me something, Blair. Are you scared?
Not in the least.
Are you?
Nope. Just curious.
So am I. What are you curious about? I want to find out all I can about the man my wife is going to leave me for. Well, Captain, the anesthetic will take hold in a moment. We'll be ready to begin. Just one more thing before we do. Regardless of how this works out, be good to Lisa, won't you? You see, I happen to love her very much. Now, the first incision, Captain. That's scalpel, Lisa. That's perfect, Captain. Pads, Lisa. Now we look for the aponeurosis. Hello, scalpel, Lisa. That's it. We go through two layers now. I must tell you, Captain, the tiniest false move at this point would assuredly cause my death, and you couldn't possibly be blamed for it. It's worth considering, Captain. Well, that one really shook the house, didn't it? It might just as easily shake your hand.
I don't need you to put ideas in my head, Blair. What do I do now?
Now we expose the rectus muscle, Captain. As you see, it's in sort of a sheath. Now, the clamps, Captain. The job is done. A right good job, I'd say. Lisa, my dear, you better pour yourself a drink. You look like you could use one.
Is there anything more we must do?
Oh, yes. The Demerol hypo you prepared.
Here.
That's right. Just a moment, Lisa. You haven't removed the excess air. That, too, could be fatal.
I'm sorry. I guess I am a bit shaken. No, it's all right.
Thank you. There. I'll be asleep in a moment. Well, Captain, Lisa, I don't imagine I'll be seeing you again. I want to thank you for what you've done. And I want to wish you both a great deal of happiness.
How do you figure a guy like that? What he should have done was take a shot at me.
Knowing Carl, I'd say he was afraid to.
That's just it. You don't know him. He's not afraid of anything. He proved that when he let me stick knives in him.
Well, it seems to me he had very little choice in the matter. It was either that or die.
Wrong again. He could have performed the operation himself. That's been done, too.
Could? Why didn't you tell him to do it, then?
I guess I was just as anxious as he was.
To find out what kind of a man his wife was leaving him for?
That's right.
And did you find out?
Yeah. Well, the wind's easing off. I better get down to the lagoon and see if my boat's still in one piece. Goodbye, Lisa.
Goodbye? Just like that? Goodbye? What about me? What happens to me now?
I don't know, Lisa. You'll have to work that one out for yourself. But I know this now. Somewhere, someday, on some beach, I would have left you. It's better that I leave you here now on this beach. I haven't got what it takes to love a woman like you. He has. He still does. Goodbye, Lisa.
Terry! Terry!
Goodbye, Lisa.
Hello, Ailey.
Yes, Master.
The storm is over, huh?
Oh, yes, Master. Since this morning early.
And?
ye go, master.
I see. May I have a sip of water, please?
Yes, master. I get from other room.
Luele?
Oh, missy. Luele not know you still here.
But I am Luele, and I'll take that tray.
Yes, missy.
Carl?
Lisa.
I brought your water, Carl, but you're only to have a spoonful.
Lisa, I thought you...
I thought I was, too, but I didn't.
That makes me very happy.
I don't know why it should. I'm not much good, you know.
Don't judge yourself too harshly. After all, these are the tropics.
Where all sorts of things blow in from the sea.
And blow back out again.
Like our first typhoon.
That's right. And you know, I don't think it did any permanent damage.
I don't think it did either.
Starred in William N. Robeson's production of Thou Shalt Not Commit, written for Suspense by Richard Weil. Listen. Listen again next week when we bring you another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Supporting Mr. Jory in Thou Shalt Not Commit were Ellen Morgan, Ben Wright, Joe DeSantis, and Andy Iona.
This is the CBS Radio Network. This is your personality station in Scranton, WGBI 910 on the dial.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host, John P., for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
And you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. That's all the time we have for Skull's Hall tonight, all the time for Spoken Word Entertainment. Coming up in just a little bit, we will have Canada Post Rock with John, so we're coming back to the music. From all of us here, please have a safe and happy Chinese New Year.
Well-known pimp.